Okay, good morning. We're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on page Ayin Beis, near the bottom of the page, in Os Tzadi, if I'm correct. We're just finishing Os Tzadi. We're right at the bottom of the page. We're talking about the idea of Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem's divine intervention in the world. And we're talking about a person buying furniture. And he should ask himself, am I the one who made the decision, the ultimate decision of buying this furniture, or was it Hashem? And although we may intellectually understand this to be true, but it's very far away from us feeling this reality. And generally people don't think about these thoughts, and the first thing we got to do is to get ourselves into that mode of thinking about those thoughts, that only with Hashem are these things decided. And that's what he's supposed to do. Before you go into the store, don't run into the store. Pause for a minute and think what he's doing. And he should reflect and say, no, that which I'm planning to do, who's the one who's making the decision really? Is it me or Hashem? So we're four lines from the bottom of that page on Ayin Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Vayidaber kein lefiv, and he should say this verbally. After he has thought about it, he should verbalize it. You're walking into the furniture store. And you talk to Hashem, and you should say these words. Rabbeinu Shalayla, Master of the Universe. I know clearly that the table that I'm about to buy, it is not in my power at all to choose which table to buy, but everything is dependent on your decree. And that's how you walk into the store. And you should verbalize it. And in the brackets he says, of course we can daven and we can accomplish a lot through prayer. And you could pray that Hashem should give us things that we want. And he's going to talk about that later on in greater detail. But, you know, aside from that, you should understand and make it clear everything you're doing, you should speak this out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ask him, and not ask, but it's recognize. I know it's you. Right? So whatever the situation is, you know, you're going to return something to a store and you don't know if how their returnal policy is going to be regarding your object. So you say to yourself before you go into Canadian Tire, wherever you're going, you say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm going in to return this thing. It's been already a little bit after the warranty or whatever, whatever. Now Hashem, I know that you are the only one who's going to, the clerk there who's going to decide if I'm going to get this thing returned or not. It's you who are deciding that. And I know that up front. And now you walk in and just wait to see what God's going to do to you. Now, the clerk will be the messenger, but that's how you walk in. Now, you know, if you keep saying this, this is what we talk about, living in the reality of Hashem. You know, and if the clerk's going to say no, you're not going to start screaming and yelling. You know, because it's a rebellion shalom that's saying no. So don't get upset at the clerk. You know. And you could say a lot of other things also, right? You could, you know, and when you're in Sobeys and you want to check out, you know, there's a lot, you could talk to God a lot while you're in Sobeys. You know, not just once when you go into Sobeys. I mean, you could, mom, it's just so much to talk about when you go into Sobeys, you know. Please, Hashem, you know, you're going to decide if I'm going to be able to find certain objects in the store. Even when you ask the manager, it doesn't mean if it's there or not necessarily. A lot of times it's there, the manager doesn't know, and let's say you need something. You want to have a special thing for your kid, you know, or your husband or whatever. And you know, it's an item and it's not there, but sometimes a person picks up an item and leaves it somewhere else in the store. You know what I mean? So, you know, you say, Hashem, you know, please, you know, I'd like to have this, and I know you're the one who's going to decide if I'm going to get this or not. I was going to the store and it's not there. You know. And there's all kinds of things you need to do while you're in the store. And then you could daven Hashem as you come to the end. Hashem, please, I know it's up to you if I'm going to be in a quick line or a short line. You know, and according to my estimation, since I'm an Eved Hashem, it's better for me to not have to stand in the store longer than necessary, because when I come home, I have a lot of important things to do. But I know you're the one who's going to decide that. And if you are going to decide that, and you decide that I am in a long line, then I hope I'm smart enough to know what I should be doing while I'm waiting in the line. You know, and I understand that you want me to have a lesson in patience for 20 minutes in the line. And but you verbalize these things. Verbalize. Okay, don't say it so loud that the whole store hears it. You know, but say it like you say Shemon Esra. You say the words. You say it softly to yourself as you walk in. You know, that you understand that, Shem, you're the one who's going to decide what kind of shopping trip it's going to be for me. Yeah.
There are two aspects here. One is that you say, Hashem, you're the one who's going to decide the outcome. And then the other aspect where you asking Hashem to help you, give you the right resolve for what you want. So there are two aspects here. One is you're begging Hashem to help you out to make the right decision. And the other one is saying, Hashem, I know this is your decision, whether right or wrong, whatever. So...
So that's what Jeanette was bringing up yesterday. There are questions that are, there are issues that are Yerushalayim issues, that are fear of God issues, and right. There are issues that are not fear of God issues. So the issue
so
that
Hashem,
I'm saying, so the issue is Hashem is going to decide what kind of line I have, right?
No, when you return something to Canadian Tire, let's say it's past you.
So
you
it's up to Hashem.
Hashem help me that this guy would take
no,
it
so,
back.
So I know it's in your control. I know it's in your control, and that's why I'm asking you to help me out. I can, again, that's what you said, you can always daven to Hashem.
Yeah.
You're gonna decide. I hope I can live with this decision. And then you can always daven to change things. You can daven. You can daven to Hashem.
Basically, it's constantly...
You're talking to Hashem like he's the boss. That's the thing. It's not, you're walking in the store, you have nothing to decide here.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So when you're going in, you know, you're saying, God, I know you're the one who's going to decide if it's going to get returned or not. You know, and it's a $100 purchase here, so that's significant. And then you can daven to Hashem. You can say, Hashem, please, you know, I need the $100. Right? So please, can you help me with this? You know, it's all keeping yourself focused on the Rabbeinu Shalom. Remember, the whole point of this Sefer is to live in the reality, to feel and live in that reality. And the more you live and feel that reality, the more everything you're going to want to do as a Jew is going to be fun and exciting. You have simcha and all these things you'll have, right? So, but what are the things to keep you focused? I've already mentioned, you know, number one, you got to keep saying there is Hashem, right? And number two, that you are a creation, right? And or sub two is the world is created by Hashem. Second part of part two is that you're a creation of Hashem. And I say, Hashem, you are determining everything in my life. Right? And keep talking that way. That's what this book is trying to teach us what to do.
This is before the act and then after the event, whatever the
I'm
event,
sure.
You say Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, then you say, you know, I don't know what you had in mind, Hashem.
Yeah.
I know what you had in mind, maybe sing in store for an hour, but you must have had something in mind, and I hope I understood what it was. Just keep talking to him. Just keep talking to him. It's like his mom, because it's true, he's right here.
Yeah.
You just keep talking. You're not talking to yourself. Now, there are people who are psychotic, who talk to themselves. Somebody might overhear you once and think you're crazy, but that's not important. It's not important at all. But you got to realize, you know, Hashem is real. Hashem is there. But he's not going to be real to you if you don't talk to him. And specifically how you're talking to him is important. Yes, Shelley.
So
did you try it at Fujitsu? At the lunch yet? Didn't happen yet. Didn't happen yet. Didn't happen yet. What? Okay. That's fine.
So I understand what the rabbi is saying, but what I have a problem with, I can understand, let's say I'm going to Sobeys and I end up in a long lineup and it was out of my control, and that's what Hashem wanted me to stand in line to see if I'd look at the magazines or not, or if I listen
Good.
To the rabbi on my palm pot or something like that. I understand that. What I don't understand is if I decide to pick
maybe they should start selling my classes at the takeout.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be great?
Right. No, or give them away for free, eh? No one will buy them, right? So just give them away. You know, a little sign. Bored in the line? Here, listen to free Torah. Anyway, go ahead.
So I can understand things that clearly I don't have control over that are happening. Hashem is is either make them happen or not. What I don't understand is if I decide to pick up the Rice Krispies or the Special K, I can make that decision. I know you're going to say that Hashem knows, even though I have the free choice, he knows which I'm going to do, so he ultimately decided. But I can still say, I still have the decision with which box of cereal I pick out.
So that's what he's trying to teach you.
Healthy versus not healthy too.
That's what you think. That's what you think. You want? What if the Rice Krispies? God makes sure the Rice Krispies is out of stock.
That's different. Then he wanted it to be out of stock.
That's what I'm saying. But you didn't know that when you walked in.
No, but they're both and then, there, and I didn't know. You know what?
I understand. A lot of times we make decisions just on a whim, and that's the main thing in marketing, right, Rafal? Right, whimsical buying, right? Impulse buying. I'm sorry? Yeah, but you know, but a lot of, but there is, but I'm saying there is, yes, there what appears.
That's right.
But it is, but there's this impulse to buy, why not? I'll try it this time, right? And sometimes you're in a rush and sometimes you're not. So what he's saying is ultimately Hashem is really, and more, it's more than that, because you know, you could drop dead right before you pick up the cereal box, couldn't you? Like that's when you're not, that's the deeper part. So without Hashem, you wouldn't buy that cereal. And
there could be something dead on the inside.
So I'm saying the littlest decisions, Hashem is really controlling them.
So if I decide to either pick up this book now or not pick up the book, it's not my decision. Hashem is controlling.
Well, that depends. You want to pick up that sefer to learn Torah? Then it's your decision. Remember, things that are spiritual things.
Box of cleaning. Let's not use the book as a bad example.
You know,
if I decide I want to move the box of cleaning from here to there.
All right, so ultimately Hashem is going to be either putting that into your mind, because Hashem is going to put it into your mind to think that way.
So as a human being, we have no,
no control. You have control over everything that involves your relationship with Hashem.
And anything else we don't.
Now, again, certain things, depending on the kind of person you are, person A, it will be his decision. Person B, it will be God's decision. No, because sometimes you're doing the thing based on what's the will of Hashem, and other people are doing what's not the will of Hashem. I just have to think of one, but I know that could be. You know, in other words, for you, for one person, it's a spiritual decision. For one person, it's not a spiritual decision. Right? It's just failing me right at this moment to come up with an example. What? No, God is involved.
You make him involved.
He cannot be involved in you are the ultimate decisor of spiritual decisions. Right? You are the ultimate decisor in spiritual decisions.
You open the door to get into a car to go to a shir, that's your decision. If somebody else opens the car at exactly the same time to go to a baseball game, that's God's decision. Right? That's what you're saying. It has to
Let's say like this. Let's say we're going. I'm going to Sobeys. A person is going to the Sobeys to buy himself some ice cream. For the heck of it. Okay? And person B is going to go to the Sobeys to get someone ice cream as an ultimate chesed for the other person. Because it's a person who's really in trouble and, you know, he needs to pick me up, and I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to do a chesed, I'm going to do a mitzvah, and I'm going to decide to get him an ice cream. Right? So that was my spiritual decision to do a mitzvah.
Can I be that person?
While the other person, I just want to eat it. You know, there's ways where it could shift. But for most of us, it's not going to be that way. And for most of us, those mundane things are just purely, you know, they're things that are not Yerushimayim Dikka things. And those things, Hashem is totally involved in every step of that happening. Totally involved. You know, making your parnasa, it's all decided by Hashem once you're in the trenches, but you decide how much time you're going to spend on your parnasa. That's your decision. How many hours a day I'm going to work is my decision. What happens while I'm working is God's decision. Unless when you're working, you decide to do a chesed in the middle of the work, then that becomes your decision, and not God's decision. You know, you have to make a bracha at a meeting, right? All right. So let's just sit with this idea for a while, okay? So you know, But it logically is so. Logically it is so. God is determining every single mundane thing as well. He gives you the power to do this. He puts it in your mind to do this. Because these are not, you know, HaKol Bidei Shamayim. Everything's in the hands of God. It's a chazal. Everything is in the hands of God. Every single thing that happens to you, everything you do is in His hands. Right? And there's a lot of times, you know, a lot of them, you have to make decisions. And you just totally, you know, what you decide at that time. How did I know I was going to decide that even before I got into the store? I didn't even know. You know, a lot of times, and for you to successfully complete it, you know, it's up to Hashem if you're going to successfully complete it. You know, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to buy this thing, and you know there's a million of them, and you walk in and it's not there. Someone says, see, but it was there yesterday. It's not there today. That's all. I decide it's not there. You know, a lot of times you go in and all of a sudden, for some reason you decide, you know, try a different brand. And the brand you buy is up to Hashem. You know, you're going in, you're going to buy Ha'olam cheese at $19.99, and it's on your list, Ha'olam cheese. And all of a sudden you walk in, and Morning Select is on sale for $16.99. And all of a sudden you're going to buy Morning Select, and not Ha'olam, that's at $23.99. So Hashem decided which one you were going to buy. He decided long ago, weeks ago, because he made sure that the guy making the prices would make the price cheaper for that. So it's like every little thing he's deciding for you. It took a lot of things to get Morning Select into that store. Because months ago, the owner was deciding if he should take that brand of Morning Select. Right? And it was a big decision, you know, it was this and that. And they decided it. And that was all part of why Hashem wanted you to have Morning Select.
So all the thoughts that go into your mind when you think that you think that you're calculating, you go into the closet, you think you're deciding what to wear.
So Hashem is just really ultimate. Now again, unless you really are making, unless there's a real mitzvah focus, unless there's a real mitzvah focus. Listen, where do these ideas just come into your mind from? Where are they coming into your mind from? The mind is Hashem. Hashem makes so much come out that you're really not so much in control. You're going to pick this one. You don't see that when you go to a store. You go to a store to buy a dress. You know which dress you're going to buy when you go in. Hashem puts in your mind. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in a down mood now. I usually buy this, but I'm going to buy this dress today. You know, because Hashem put that idea in your mind to buy that dress.
You ultimately decide to buy it.
You think so.
So that goes back to the Kleenex box.
I'm saying. So Hashem is moving it. First of all, the Kleenex box. No, the Kleenex box. That's right. That's right. Hashem is guiding you. Now, if you wanted to pack the Kleenex box to Rafal because you see he's blowing his nose out of control. You know, now that was your decision because you went out of your way to do a kindness for him. That was your decision because that's your Shemayim. So that's why tzaddikim don't get so excited about these neutral things. Now, they don't get overly worried about them. Like, why worry so much? Just buy the first one. You know, it has to fit what you need, right? But just buy it. Don't spend so much time calculating. All these calculations, it's just, you know, not necessary.
The more you bring Hashem into your life, and the more you think about Him all the time, the more decisions you are ultimately going to make.
Or the more you let Him take care of you. The less you have to worry about.
No, but if everything you look at, everything that you do in your life, you think it's due to Lashem
Shemayim. Okay, but not everything. It's Lashem Shemayim, but it's not going to be a Yerushamayim decision. It's always going to be a Yerushamayim decision. But not always. Okay, the kind of tape I'm going to buy is not going to be a Yerushamayim decision. I'm not going to be a better Jew or less of a Jew if I buy this tape or that tape. But he's not going to, you see, the secular Jew is going to spend an hour and a half deciding what kind of tape to buy. The tzaddik is not going to spend more than 5 seconds. Just get it. Let's go on with life. Right? These aren't important things. These aren't the thing, you know, the kind of carpeting you have in your house. You know, don't spend that much time on it. It's not going to make you a better Jew or not. You're going to decide in advance how much money you're going to spend on the carpet. That's a Yerushalayim decision. How much money I'm going to spend on and the type of of thing that conforms with halacha. But once you're past that stage, there is that mundane part. Okay, I've already decided the jacket I'm going to buy is going to be a dark jacket. Okay, and that's my spiritual decision. I want to dress conservatively because that's the way Yid goes. Okay, that's a Yerushalayim decision. And therefore, I'm going to that store because that store has that stuff. Now I'm going in now and just, Hashem, you pick it up, please. You're picking it out. I'm just going through the motions. And to realize that. To realize that, I'm just going through the motions.
So, the rabbi didn't choose the tie. Hashem chose the tie. I mean, Hashem chose.
Yeah, again. Yeah, I never bother with that. See, tzaddikim aren't going to waste their time on a lot of things. They'll have other people do it. I never buy a tie. And even if when I buy a tie, I look at, you know, when I buy a tie, I know in general I'm picking a conservative looking tie. That's my spiritual decision. You know, there's two racks, one with psychedelic ties and one with boring ties, right? So I go to the boring tie rack. That was my Yerushalayim decision. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And now there's like 20 boring ties, you know, on this side here. And I, you know, so then now I'm not going to pick one that I think is ugly. But that raised Hashem's decision. You know, why do I think this is ugly? Because Hashem's been in my mind that my taste is this, your taste is that. That's right. The silly tastes we have, it all comes from Hashem. Because He wants you to have that tie. He wants you to have that kind of thing. That's
cool. Couldn't you invest that decision with something greater? For example, Bahabdul, people that buy only certain things that have come from companies that aren't into child labor. You know, so they won't go out of Walmart or the body shop. Politically correct, no animal testing, and all that stuff. In other words, you can elevate those.
That just elevates which store you go into will be the spiritual decision. I agree. Your spiritual decision is to decide which store based on that. But once you're in the store, it's this one versus that one. That's not your decision. You already made the generic spiritual decision. So that's your decision. I'm deciding to do, you know, I'm going to the store. I'm going to go to the store where I know the customers are dressed sneistically. There's two different stores. I can walk into the mall. Let's say you need echves, tomatoes. Right? So I can go in, and it's in July. Alright? So I can go into the Promenade Mall to go to echves where the TNT. I know I'm going to that mall, half the people are naked. Right? So, right? Or I go to Chvez Sue's, Toronto Kosher. You know, you go to a place where frum people shop a lot, where it's not going to be that way. So that's my decision which store I'm going to, because I'm making a spiritual decision. Which tomato I pick, that's God's decision. Even which tomato you pick is God's decision. There's six tomatoes in front of you, right? You know, so and you'll have two nice tomatoes. It's Hashem's decision. Why? Because there's one spark of holiness in that tomato that you were meant to elevate and not in that one. Because that one has a gilgal of somebody and that one doesn't. Or whatever. These are lots of things going on way beyond what you can realize. There could be a person's neshama is in that tomato. And you're buying it for Shabbos. And Hashem knows, but that tomato doesn't have a gilgal in it. And this tomato does have a gilgal in it. Why Hashem picked that tomato? That's His business. But He knows that you're going to make a bracha on it, L'kavod Shabbos, so He wants you to pick that tomato. And a lot of times, I know myself, I'm going, there's a whole case of peaches. Okay, I'm not going to take the bruised one. Fine, just go ahead. Who made that one bruised before I came in? Hashem made it bruised. He made this one bruised and that one, because those don't have the gilgals inside them. And this one does. But it's 20 not bruised ones. Well, which one do I take? It's all God designed. I think I look good. So you don't have bother. You know, you just look to see it's not bruised. You know, don't buy a bruised one. That's foolish. But then, well, if it's not bruised, fine. You know, I'm not mine, so just take it, you know. Let Hashem guide my hand which one I have to take.
It's not an Esrog, yeah.
An Esrog is different. Esrog is a mitzvah when you're looking at the Esrog.
That's only when you need to spend 20 minutes
in the store.
There.
Yeah.
You
need a tomato that gets the Esrog.
It seems not paradoxical, probably even unfair, that Hashem would make the decisions on the mundane little things while the bigger decisions up to us.
The spiritual decisions are up to you, because that's the only way you live. At the end of the day, what is your life based on? It's based on choosing between good and evil. That, let's go back to the basics again. Why did Hashem put us in this world? To get closer to Hashem. How do you get closer to Hashem? By choosing to do the things that get you closer to Hashem. What are you choosing? You're choosing things that are either good or that are either evil. Those are the important things that you have to decide. Now, obviously, Hashem is involved in helping you implement those decisions, right? He hasn't left you totally, but certain decisions are yours to make. You know, you have, you're deciding on which school to send your children. That's a spiritual decision. That's a spiritual decision. Where are you going
to
send?
Up to me.
That's up to you. 100% up to you.
What?
100% up to you. Because you have to decide. You want your child to be taught that there is a God, or you want your child to be taught that there isn't a God. And you know what is going on in those schools. So it's your decision.
Shouldn't Hashem help me with this decision better?
He certainly does. He gives you a rabbi, and you can choose to ask the rabbi or not. That's your decision again. He's giving you the ability to make the right decision. He has a Torah that teaches you how to choose schools. He has a rabbi to help you how to choose schools. And you have to decide, are you going to look for help or not? And then you're making the right choice. If you choose not to, then, you know, you're willfully making the wrong choice. Right? So that's the important things are always in your hand. To get up in the morning and go to shul, whose decision was it? Yours. Yours.
I was thinking it was Hashem.
Now, of course, you still need Hashem's help, you know, when you're driving the car. You need Hashem's help. You always need Hashem's help. But who is the determiner? Who is the determiner? Right? So in the spiritual things, you're the decisor. And in the mundane things, Hashem is the decisor. That's the way it should be.
What's the benefit of Hashem being involved in the mundane things? Like, I'm thinking from a practical point of view, which is probably the wrong way to look at it. Why would Hashem get involved with the tomato? I mean, it does.
Because you don't know what's going on in the spiritual world, so that's why you're asking that question. But Hashem does know. Hashem knows why you have to eat that tomato.
I can understand he would get involved in my decision to choose a school for my children. But
of
no import to anybody.
That's why he's taking care of it. That's why he's taking care of it. The things that are really important, you have to take care of. You know, and so don't waste your time so much on the mundane things. Now, they all will still be in the spiritual realm. It's all because you're talking to God while you're buying the tomato. So you're feeling Hashem's involvement, and you're picking out the tomato, and that makes you a spiritual person. That makes you close to Hashem.
So the areas where
you're not making the decisions to give up that ownership to God is a good spiritual decision. And that will get you closer to Hashem. Just letting Him be in control is important. In other words, know when to let God be in control and know when you're supposed to be in control. And to live that way all the time. And sometimes you have to stop and say, is this a spiritual decision? Is this a non-spiritual decision? Then you're going to realize, now what if it's a spiritual one, now my thinking, I have to really be serious about this. You know, what school I sent to, it's not, okay, let me see what everybody else is doing, and I'm going to follow the crowd. That's not how you take a spiritual decision. You say, what's the MS? And that means you need a lot of thinking. And that means, you know, you don't have to go to the rabbi, ask him which tomato you should buy. But you got to ask the rabbi what school to send your kid to. That you got to do. Because you know, at least know what the Torah's opinion is, and then you have to make the choice to either listen to the Torah or not listen to the Torah. That's important stuff. And God ultimately wants you to make those important decisions. But even that, you know, even with the important decisions, there's a lot of mundane things that will be involved in that decision. Once you've made that decision, then there's a lot of mundane decisions, you know, how to pay for it and how to go buy the books and this and that. All those are now the mundane decisions that follow from that big decision. You know, so Baruch Hashem, you hope that you make the right main decision so all the mundane ones are in a good direction. They're in a good direction. If otherwise, then, you know, to me, make a lot of mundane decisions that aren't even in the right zone. Okay, we got to digest this. You got to digest this. This is, again, intellectually you know this, but you don't feel it. That's the thing. That's the challenge. You just don't feel it. because you only think, you only feel what you see. That's the problem. You're limited to what you're seeing. You don't see. If you saw, if you saw there's a Gilgal, and you saw the Gilgal, you saw, it's Uncle Charlie's neshamas in that tomato. Uncle Charlie never kept Shabbos so well. And his tikkun is that we should use him to be with the fish on Shabbos. And I'm going to say L'kavod Shabbos. And the tomato screaming at you. Hey, I'm Uncle Charlie. Help me, help me. I don't want that Italian to take me. He doesn't even know what Shabbos is. Right? Then you'd know Hashem is saying, no, that's why I want you to take that one. You understand why I want you to take that one? Then you say, ooh, wow. Now I understand. Or like right after you picked it. Uncle Charlie, thank you so much. You know, you'd realize, but you just pick up. You think you're designing. You have this in the Torah so many times. Why did Yaakov, it's in 2 weeks, why did Yaakov send Yosef to his brothers when they were far away? That was not a rational decision. No, he didn't have no Ruach HaKodesh for that. You know, and the Chazal say, you know what? Because Hashem needed Yosef to be in Mitzrayim. Hashem needed Yosef to be in Mitzrayim. There's no way he's going to get to Mitzrayim unless his father made a dumb decision. It was a dumb decision on Yaakov's part to send Yosef to the brothers who hated him. You know, he didn't think it through well enough. How could it be that Yaakov, he's a smart guy. He could deal with Lavan here in this week's parsha for 20 years. He's a smart guy. Yaakov can be shrewd when he needs to be shrewd in a good way, and he knows how to read a crowd. He's an intelligent guy. He really is smart. He doesn't know that the brothers are upset with Yosef. So what happened? He just wasn't thinking. What do you mean he wasn't thinking? Hashem made sure he wasn't thinking. So that's a different thing. I'm not talking about the brothers. I'm talking about Yaakov. I mean, it's a big kasha. Why did Yaakov send Yosef there? He should not have sent. That was not a good decision. There were find out how they're doing. What do you mean find out how they're doing? Send one of your slaves to find out how they're doing. You know, if you're sending Yosef, send it with bodyguards. You know, so what's going on over here? Because Hashem wanted them to be down in Mitzrayim for further spiritual tests. But how is he going to get them down? So how is he going to get them down? He's going to get them down by having Yaakov make a big mistake. So see, sometimes you see, you make dumb mistakes. In business, you know, you made a dumb mistake. He said, I don't know why I did that. So because Hashem was doing it. Because it wasn't, that one thing was not a Yerushalayim decision. And Hashem wants to put you in a decision where you're in a financial problem, where now you're going to have to make a spiritual decision, or whatever. Sometimes, you know, I'll give you a good example. Right? We have to pick last summer, or 2 summers, I don't remember now, a guy to do our driveway. Guy to do our driveway. Right?
It's a mayor decision.
Right?
To do, what do you mean to do?
So, we had to fix the driveway. We had to fix the driveway, it needs to be fixed. So, who is this guy, that guy? So you pick. What do you pick it on? What do you pick it on? You know, this guy, hey, you know, Tony, hey, I've got in the neighborhood here. We do many, many, many driveways. And you go to the 428 Spring Gate and this and that. And we got many driveways we do. We're in the neighborhood. You know.
Just happened to be.
And then you check prices. You know, you check prices. And he's, I don't know, $500 cheaper. I don't remember what it was. It was cheaper. You're great. The guy did the worst job in the world. We got potholes in the first 6 months.
You don't have a guarantee.
Yeah, you got a guarantee. Sure, you got a guarantee. But find the guy. Find the guy. Yeah? So what is Hashem? Obviously, Hashem made that decision. I wouldn't have picked the worst guy, would I? So why does Hashem send me the worst guy at my door? Right? Hashem and I pay. So Hashem wanted me to get the worst guy. Finish. You can research all day long with these chevra. You know, you can call up and you can, you know, it's just you know, it isn't gonna work. You can go to the best company. You go to the top of the line company, and they're gonna sell you sometimes something that's just totally faulty. And they say, sorry, it's our guarantee. We'll replace it. We'll fix it, but we won't replace it. And you're stuck with it. You know, that's because Hashem wants you to suffer with this refrigerator. You know, Hashem wants you to learn patience. You know, we bought a refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? Even and then when you decide, okay, this I'm going to go name brand, this, that, and everything else, it'll also break on you. Right, the top of the line, right? You get the best, you lease the best car, right? And, first year, something went out of place and it stalled on you. A little wire went out. That's not supposed to happen, but good. God wants it to happen for you. Right, so who you picked
it?
So that's why, you know, you have to make some reasonable effort, within reason. You don't pick a guy who doesn't even have the materials and just give him the money, right? I mean, that's already, beyond what's reasonable. But at a point, you gotta realize, oh, it's not Hashem's working this thing. Don't get so excited about it. That's the thing. Just don't get so excited about these things. That's what gets so excited. So, Hashem wanted that to happen. That's what's gonna happen. That's all. You go fight her. That's all. Don't waste your breath over these things. Right? Okay. Let's move on. Sadiyal. I see this is a real challenging issue here. That's good. Sadiyal. Kach ala adam l'hargel asasim lat lat. So this is what you got to get yourself accustomed to. Slowly, slowly. It's going to take a lot of time to internalize this concept. B'chol prat v'prat b'chayv. With every single detail in his life. Sh'omid liknos, lifo, chadoyma. When you're about to buy something, to do something, or similar things, to reflect and to see. Is this under my control or not? And to implant it with inside you, the simple and pure fundamentals of belief in Hashem, which is, there's only one unique Adon Kol Olamim, Master of the Universe. The one who determines every single thing, but in brackets, chutz miyir shemaim, except for God-fearing decisions, as it says, hakol bidei shemaim, chutz miyir shemaim, everything's in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. A person should get accustomed to set aside a time or many times to do things through contemplation of faith. And then you'll tie every activity into God. He'll have a life that is saturated with belief. And all his activities are connected to Hashem, the one and the unique one. See, that's the point of it all. The problem is we're going into the stores and we not bring Hashem into the store. That's where the problem is. See, what's the whole point of this? The whole point is to forever be living in God's reality. Now, most of the things we do in life are mundane. And if you're going to spend, a woman spends a lot of time shopping and taking the cleaning and doing running errands. So, it's easy to just not involve Hashem in any of those errands. So what you keep saying to yourself, you keep talking to God. Hashem, you're the one who's going to decide what time I'm going to make it to Yesodia Torah for carpool. You're the one who's going to decide if the street I'm picking has got terrible traffic or not. And just knowing that and talking to him throughout the day makes you close to Hashem. That's the whole point of it all. And to know that Hashem, you're the one who's really controlling a lot of these activities, and therefore I'm always coming on to you. That's the point. And I'm always, and you keep saying, so Hashem, I guess you decided that I'm getting a lousy tomato today. And you're deciding that I'm having a long trip in traffic. And you're the one who's deciding this, And you're the one who decided that the driveway should get messed up in 6 months. And then you don't get so anxious. Like, why is this? Hashem wants it. And then you're going to think deeper. Okay, now that you decided, why did you decide that? And what am I supposed to learn from that? That's good, other chapters in the book. But first we got to get it clear. You don't get upset. There's no such thing. I'm being late. The husband, should realize, Hashem, my wife is not making me late for the wedding. You're making me late for the wedding. That's all. See the difference there? You're making me late for the wedding. Finished. What's the Baal Simcha going to say? You say, I'm sorry, Hashem made me late. Hashem made me late, I'm sorry. What can I do? It's up to Hashem. He gave me such a wife. What do you want from me? He gave me such a wife. When I was married. Right? Remember, he's going to talk about it. Who decides who you get married to? Hashem, right? Yeah. Now Hashem gets you. Now you're a guy who's always on time and organized, right?
Right.
Look what Hashem does to you. He finds this girl who's not organized, has no sense of time.
Terrible.
So now what is that? Means that's your lot in life. Get used to it, buddy. Learn to be patient. So what are you going to fight with your wife to make her more organized and to make her on time? That's the way she is. That's the way it is. You're not going to change her. Just get used to it. That's all, Hashem. Your life forever is someone like that, and that's all. And you're supposed to learn from that. Now it could be, you know, she has a lot of other outstanding qualities. You know, maybe you're a little bit too hung up on being on time. And living a life by the clock is not necessarily the life one should live. You know, people neurotic about the wedding's at 6:30. We have to be at 6:30. And if you're not,
imagine an atomic clock on the stand.
And if you're not, so now what? In other words, the time is the avodah zarah. It's the avodah zarah of time. There are more important things sometimes than being on time for a wedding. Just because there's a time for it. That's why Yidden never do anything on time. The more religious, the less it's on time. Why? Because they know it doesn't matter. See, don't you get it? It doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter. The Hasidim are never on time.
The Germans.
It doesn't matter. So it's going to be a half an hour. You know what? And if it's Bashir to make it, you'll catch the next one. You know, it's how much you're putting your hands in Hashem's life. There's so many stories. I don't have time. You know, there's so many, but not to get neurotic over it. You get neurotic. People get neurotic over it. You know, there can be some doctors, you come 10 minutes later, they're still going to see you. Guess they're still going to see you. You know, and it's by share for you to be there. You're gonna be there. No, I always have to be there 15 minutes early, just in case of traffic. Who are you, God? God will decide if you make that. You know, you come 15 minutes early, you're there, and guess what? The doctor cancels on you. You think you're gonna? Yeah, that's the foolishness. Don't you understand? You think you're gonna be at that appointment? Hashem's gonna make sure you're at that appointment. And if he puts a mitzvah in front of you beforehand, because he's telling you, forget about the appointment. And you'll come late to the appointment. And if you miss the appointment, that's also fine. We think we're God. That's the whole point. I'll never get to this appointment unless I make sure I'm always 15 minutes early. You idiot, you. Hashem is the one who's going to make sure if you get to that appointment or not. Your car will break on the way. What is your problem? You know? Now, you don't be totally don't live in this world. Although big tzaddikim don't have to live in this world. Big tzaddikim just show up when they want, you know. Who is it? We said which Rebbe, who wanted to see Scoop Jackson the next day in Washington? Scalina Rebbe, and Scoop Jackson's there for him. See, when you're a big tzaddik, you do whatever you want, and Hashem's gonna make it happen. You live with Hashem all the time. You come to the doctor whenever you want, and he's gonna see you. You know why? He never did that with anybody else. Because you always have Hashem in your life. Hashem is going to make sure everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out for you. Anyway, that's another topic, and saved by the bell, as they say. So we'll continue. Sadi Aleph on Monday. I see this is going to be a very exciting chapter. A lot of growth in this chapter. Baruch Hashem.